This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the risk takers, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the boldest voices in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about breaking barriers, defying expectations, and rewriting the rules. No limits, no apologies, just real talk. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Audio courtesy of Guardians TV. I'm going to get to the elephant in the room here in just a moment. I don't know if Luis Ortiz is meant to be here for very long.
You're going to count him out after one game? Come on, Ken.
It was a terrible spring.
Yeah.
And it's an even worse start to the regular season.
I have a theory.
Go ahead.
Judas
this
Priest.
Is them putting him out there and going, Tristan, do you see this? Do you see what you're doing to your family
like
right
that,
now?
Like the Bobby Hill episode where they made Fat Body run all the track events to shame them into running harder. That's what that is.
Well, what is it going to be when Logan Allen toes the rubber?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't want to do that one right now.
No. It's ease up there.
This thing.
4 2/3, gave up 9 hits, 7 runs, all of them earned.
A shellacking.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh at it. I did have this thought, though. If you lose a baseball game, but Austin Hedges hits a home run, should it count as only a half a loss? Should it be a half win?
Yeah, you hate wasting one of his biggest games at the plate.
Should the Guardians be 2.5 and 1.5 on the season?
He's batting over 300 right now, guys.
You got to take
advantage. Joke's on me.
You have to take advantage while he's hot, while he's red hot.
Yep. That was pretty bad last night. Another thing that happened, I don't know if we want to give you these quotes right here. There's other quotes, obviously, we have to go through with Jimmy Haslam. That's coming up in just a moment. However, you have a Yahoo article over there. I have it too now about some of the things that were said yesterday from Yahoo, according to the players. Oh, Mitch said he sent it, but he didn't send it. So there we go. Do you have it?
I don't have it.
Okay, Mitch, you said you sent it, and then you didn't send it.
I just sent it now.
Yeah, everybody is now weighing in.
Yeah, you said you sent it 5 minutes ago. That was before the show. Now it's during the show.
Everybody's weighing in on the torpedo bats around Major League Baseball.
He was crafting more YouTube videos about Jimmy Haslam reaction, Mitch was. Go ahead, sorry.
De La Cruz had 7 RBIs.
He had 7.
Cruz had 7 RBIs.
It was the first time he'd ever swung this, apparently. So everyone's going to give it a whack.
Yes. We have some Guardians who are talking about it. Tristan McKenzie said, quote, they might be more susceptible to spin because there's less barrel at the end of the bat. It could help the hitters, but it also might hurt them.
Okay.
The torpedo bat is taking the world by storm. Jazz Chisholm defended himself yesterday in a social media post. I don't know why he was taking criticism for hitting home runs with legal bats, but he does play for the Yankees, so you're going to have that. Lane Thomas, quote, I have a little bit of that in my bats. See how it's shaved a little at the end? He's showing the bat, apparently. And the barrel is right there. Yankees are just an exaggerated version. It looks like it works. I'll need to see it for a couple of more weeks before I go and get one.
Yeah, how definitive, how conclusive would it have to be for Major League Baseball to scrap this altogether? Because that's what you're wondering. Would there be?
I mean, if it's just home run derby every game, then yeah, they would scrap it all together. But The Braves had a whole shipment sent to them. They won 1-0 last night.
Mm-hmm.
Against the Dodgers, of all teams. So, it's still, you got a C-ball, you got a hit ball.
Right. So, obviously it's rendered useless if you're not making contact. So, that can vary from game to game, depending on who the pitcher is and the approach and all that stuff. And, my God, we're sitting here, you know, that was the end of March. It's not April 1st today. So, if I saw these bats for the first time today, you would think it was a joke. You would mm-hmm. think it was an April Fool's joke. So now you wonder, how bad would it have to be? And when I say decisive, the numbers would have to look a certain way for them to all throw their hands up in the air and say, well, this isn't the sport. This is not what was intended.
Yeah. It would have to be like a game of wiffle ball. Like, did you ever play slip and slide baseball?
Oh, yeah.
When you were a kid? Did you ever play something side baseball on?
Exclusively from the ages of 8 to 12.
For a second, I thought you were looking like we didn't. No. Sorry about that.
I was like, all Oklahoma in something side baseball.
We used to play in this kid, Ricky Sopp's backyard. And, I mean, there was a great home run porch to right field, and you would sock these moon shots during slip and slide baseball. And that, if it were to turn into something like that, then I think that maybe Major League Baseball would step in. I mean, it's not like they haven't messed with things before. They won't admit to it.
Deadening that ball again.
Yeah, baseballs, deadening balls, juicing balls, whatever it might be. Like, if it makes that big of a difference, fine. But I don't think it's going to – I really don't think it's going to make that big of a – it is surprising to see guys hit 9 home runs in a baseball game on Saturday against the Milwaukee Brewers. I will grant you that.
Oh, it was those back-to-back games. It was so crazy. You never see two lopsided scores to that level. And then, oh, by the way, we introduced a new bat with new – there's new physics involved.
Yes, but I still think that the advantage is going to – the pitchers have to adjust. Give the pitchers time to adjust. If by – honestly, by Memorial Day, if we're just seeing bing-bongs all over the place, and that's probably a little bit too late, honestly, but I'm just going to give it a nice right date, like Memorial Day, then maybe they decide to go, hey, no more of this. We're going to have to change the laws here of the bats. Or maybe they let it go throughout the entire season, and then this offseason they change the rules for the bats. But if they're legal, if they're perfectly legal, then take advantage of them, fine. Because I think a big thing is Lane Thomas mentions that I don't even notice it on Lane Thomas's bat. You watch as many games as you possibly can. So he says that it's a little bit right there. They choose where their sweet spot is as long as it meets the wood dimensions, the 2.61 diameter of a Major League Baseball bat. So to hell with it. Go ahead and let it ride. See if it helps us.
Oh, I don't think any fan is out there, you know, saying,
no one's going to complain about more home runs.
Yeah, I just think if the game just doesn't look like we've wondered in the NBA, did some of the scores, some of the 3-point shooting, does it look like
basketball?
Hold on,
basketball? I might have got something wrong here, but go ahead. Keep talking.
At some point, you know, it ceases to look like the sport you know and love, and you can't even relate to it, and then the numbers are such an anomaly, then I think everybody comes together and says, we got to ditch this. This is no good. Even if we like home runs, we love home runs, but we also liked 3-pointers until we didn't. So I think you could change all over the map.
Braves lost 6-1 last night. I saw the Padres score 1-0 Braves. That's what happens when you wake up at 1:00 in the morning and check your phone.
Whoopsie daisy.
I apologize. Our boss is a Braves fan. I wasn't paying attention to a word you said because I was trying to smite him.
I assume that.
I apologize. You ready to go over these Haslam quotes if we're going over quotes?
Sure.
So this came to as a bit of a surprise for everybody. I got to tell you this. After reading the quotes, I know it's supposed to be a high of 39 today, and the weather's bad. Feels like it's 75 and sunny in my head after all this. Like the storm clouds might actually be going away. Mary Kay Cabot, she tweeted it, and I went, oh, my goodness gracious. Jimmy Haslam at the owners' meetings in Palm Beach, Florida. Quote, we took a big swing and miss with Deshaun. We thought we had the quarterback. We didn't, and we gave up a lot of draft picks to get him. So we've got to dig ourselves out of that hole. It was an entire organization decision and ends with D&I, so hold us accountable. So that effectively ends the Deshaun Watson era in Cleveland. After 3 seasons.
I don't know. I watched a workout video 2 weeks ago with him and Brown's gear in Berea. It seemed to me that he was on the comeback trail.
You can work out. I think if you put out a video of you working out in Brown's gear, I think that you have a better chance of playing for the Cleveland Browns this year than he does, it seems. Ian Rappaport spoke about it yesterday, Ian Rappaport said the quiet part out loud, like he's going to be out the entire year with this Achilles injury.
I mean, I kind of always assume.
Well, some people were saying, well, it's a 9-month recovery, and if he did it in January, he might be ready. Jimmy Haslam is saying no more. He'll not be playing for the Browns. They'll probably put him on an IR at the end of the 4 weeks to begin the season. He won't be playing for the Browns. He probably by then won't be around the Browns, and then next year they're going to cut him. And that's going to be officially the end of the Deshaun Watson. Well, I mean, we'll have cap fallout and things like that to deal with, but that'll be the official end of the Deshaun Watson thing. So now, you know, as we talk about Browns prison, you kind of have your pathway out right now, is what it is. It was a very surprising thing to hear, because he is on the roster. I thought, man, would they ever go back to that? But then I'm going, man, in that stadium that day, I know that some people cheered. I think there was shock, though. I think there was just like this, my God, I can't believe this has happened again. And maybe this whole thing must come to an end. And that's maybe what the Haslams felt at that time, and they've been feeling it like that since. And I think a lot of Browns fans would agree.
I applaud their honesty. It's the first time in a long time I felt like they've been honest.
Did it make a difference with you and them?
Well, I'll put it this way. It's the first time in a long time that, you know, it's finally nice to see the obvious things said out loud, because teams, Browns are not alone in this, but teams or basically anybody in positions of power these days, it's just lie until you can't lie anymore. And hope that you know, your fans either don't see it or, you know, hope that they don't raise a stink. But with the Watson thing, I mean, Kenny, it's every day we get people saying they've traded in their season tickets finally. Every day. From what I hear, there's no longer a wait list to get season tickets for the Cleveland Browns. We are gearing up for a season that I think when you see that kind of honesty yesterday, they used the term digging out of the hole. What does that tell you about this year? No teams are contenders while they're digging out of anything. You're never in the process of digging, going down. Digging implies that you are...
We have to dig up.
You at some point have to elevate, right, and emerge from the abyss.
It's called climbing.
You're not doing that and contending. You're just not doing that. I think they just put up the white flag on the season,
The interesting
Kenny.
Thing... Oh, really?
Yes. This is not... For anybody, and I think... In some way, shape, or form, I guess I should thank them. Thank them for they're getting out ahead of this. They know this is not going to be a good year. They know it. I think most of the non-delusional Homer fans understand where this is. They look at the roster. The question marks, all our best players have question marks except for Miles. And even Miles, it's like, does he even want to be here? I know he signed the contract. Does he even want to be here? Like, the best players, JOK, I don't know. Is he playing? The guys you were most excited about, DeJuan Jones, coming off two season-ending injuries.
Yeah.
Mike Hall, season-ending injury at the end of the year, at the very end. Like, how's the rehab going there? The best players, Nick Chubb, is there even a market for this guy? So, yeah, he might come back, but are we going to have a running back room?
Well, I'll tell you what, if they're not planning to compete, and they
might as well get him.
Might
right?
as well get him.
Might as well, get
might,
Nick Chubb
might
back.
As well give us a little bit of an olive branch there. I want to disagree with you because I want to try to compete. I think they need to try to be competitive. I know the tank conversation is out there, and everybody started their Arch Manning stuff. It's like, guys, you can't guarantee he's going to come out in this draft. And if we're sitting there, wait, what if you get with the number 2 pick over again? Are you guaranteed you're going to get him? So what's it all worth? So I don't subscribe to that on April 1st, for crying out loud. But when the owner does say, quote, we have to get it right in the draft, and if the quarterback isn't there, then they'll take a year or two to get that right. And it would be great to get the quarterback, but we're not going to force it. I do think that those quotes kind of changed my ideas of what they could do with the quarterback position, because I thought that they would be in a hurry. I felt that they would go, hey, we got a stadium we got to get done. Mm-hmm. We got tickets we have to sell. We have merchandise we have to sell. We got to get this fan base behind somebody. And I think they're going, we need to slow down and take a breather here, because we're going to make a bad situation even worse here if we move too quickly on this. So now I think it's for the first time, I think it's all really out there. Because at first I'm like, man, it's still the Browns. They still need a quarterback. They are obsessed with that position, obsessed with it. And then I hear that and I go, okay, Abdul Carter, that's a serious consideration. Trading down's a serious consideration. Travis Hunter is a serious consideration, which I have a conversation about him later. That's not going to make me many friends. I'll do that with Ryan Wilson at 8 o'clock with you. Those are serious things now, serious possibilities here for the Browns about what they want to do. Because if the quarterback in there, if I'm going to hold him to his word, then they're not going to force it. So it's like they want to take a breather, which does let me to believe, all right, has Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry already been guaranteed for 2026?
That's part of it.
Or is he just going to use this, like I brought it up with you, like a college football program, go, hey, let's let somebody else take the losses. We just gave them extensions. Ain't going to make the situation any better. If things go to hell in a handbasket again, which it could very well do that, we'll let those guys go and we'll start fresh with a new quarterback, new head coach, and things like that.
That's all part of it. Notice that they've come out the owners' meetings and said, no, it's us. It's us. We were the architects of the actual deal of the Deshaun Watson trade, which is still being disputed by a lot of people around the league too, that Andrew Berry wanted him to, and you know, they got enough yes answers in the building to make it palatable enough, even though there were plenty of people that did not want to do it in the building. So given all of that, it does make sense that, hey, we're gonna take the heat off of the GM and the coach. Why would they be doing that now? Because they know the coach and the GM are about to get a lot of heat this year. It's not gonna be a big year. It's not going to be a contention window year. It's not going to be an all-in year. And we are sitting here on April 1st, and I think they told you all you needed to know about what the expectations probably should be.
This is the closest thing to knowing what they're doing that we've had in, I mean, how many different off seasons? In all honesty, this is the closest thing to know. When he comes out and he says those things, which I think needed to be said to the fan base.
Yeah.
Because the fan base is as angry as they've been with him since this station started, I think with the franchise since 99, these things had to be said yesterday to confirm to the fan base that that is done and we're not doing that again and we have to try to move forward now and we have to try to make a concerted effort to put this thing back together in the right way and learn from our mistakes.
Now, the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
Well, that was a late loss for the Guardians last night, 7-2 out in San Diego, despite a pair of home runs from Jose Ramirez and Austin Hedges. But that's not what I want to play for you guys. I want to get to this fifth inning play between the Guardians and the Padres, a double steal for Cleveland that saw Gabriel Arias picked off at third base. But there was a bit of a controversy, according to Underwood and Manning here. This is courtesy of Guardians TV.
Runners both take off and an easy out at third.
They're going to call them both out.
Well, that might have been a ball.
Arias interfered with the third baseman because he grabbed him.
He's going to call and see if why didn't he call a balk? Because he's asking to see if he stepped to third base. That's what he's talking to him. He says, you got to be kidding me. He stepped to third base.
He didn't step. He didn't disengage, though.
No, he did not disengage.
Now, for full context, Arias ran into Manny Machado unintentionally, and then he couldn't get the throw off to second, so they called it a double play on that, an interference.
I thought it looked like a balk. I saw it this morning when I looked on social media. I thought it was a balk.
The pitcher did not, you know, step behind the rubber when he turned and made the throw to third.
It is funny that Gabriel Arias is like, hey, hold on. Like he's almost holding on like a D lineman to Manny Machado. Hold on there. Don't you be throwing over there now. We got to get this figured out.
Well, Mitch, you have certainly spent a lifetime of umpiring baseball games.
Yeah,
so
yes. You're the person to ask.
So instead of ask Hal, RIP Hal Leibovitz, we'll ask Mitch in this case.
I do believe that if a steal attempt is being made on third base, then in this scenario, it's essentially like a reverse pickoff to third base because it's a left-hander in Hart yesterday. And you can make a move on the mound where you don't have to step behind the rubber, but you have to go over to the base. If you don't do it, that's a balk. In that case, he makes a move over to third, so therefore it is technically legal. I actually did that in...
Oh, this is legal?
Yeah, I believe it is. I mean, they didn't call it last night. I actually did that in a travel game when I was like 14 years old accidentally. I didn't even realize it. In a panic, I saw the guy go to third, and I like awkwardly stepped off and
you did.
Threw it over. I thought I was going to get called for a balk, and then evidently it was not the case.
Well, you're all baseball players, so you would know.
I was.
Boy, damn, you are well. Okay, Mitch, I'm taking your word for it, brother. Cowboy Mitch Spinell over here.
Probably also need to see if his front foot is set before
Yeah, I believe it was.
I mean, it cuts right into the video. You don't know if he's.
It's an absolute killer because obviously at that stage of the game, you're down 4-2.
Two runners on, nobody out.
No
that time.
Out, so you have a chance to have a really, really big inning, and you have the top of the order coming right up. So that's the killer in that situation. That's why that was a biggie.
Indeed, it was. I mean, yesterday there was another thing that happened in the world of baseball as well. First of all, the struggle from Luis Ortiz, we kind of got to it yesterday. 9 hits, 7 runs.
Yeah, Ken wrote him off already.
Spring training, I had my reservations about him, but it's early in the year.
How could I not?
It was a bad start.
Sorry, I'm responding to him, not you, Mitch.
No,
go ahead.
It was a bad start.
I know sometimes you get nervous to roll with the punches.
Here's what made it worse is that we got him in the trade, I believe, with Pittsburgh for multiple players. Yeah. One of them we got in the trade for another player that has gotten off to a bit of a start in Toronto. This is courtesy of Sportsnet.
Another high fly ball, and it's deep, and it is gone. Number 3 on the season already for Andrés Giménez.
That doesn't seem like a lot, but it's been 5 games already in Giménez.
We had a hot start.
How many? How many home runs?
3 home runs in 5
games.
He's
got 3. How about Josh Naylor? Is batting 400. He was 2 for 2 yesterday.
Win some, you lose some.
He's getting on base. He's slugging. He's doing it all.
Win some, you lose some. What are you going to do?
I didn't know if you were keeping track, Kenny, if your affiliation it was over with Josh Naylor.
It's less exciting.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't get to see him every day because he plays in Arizona, for crying out loud.
Yeah, I just didn't know if you...
Who won the trade between the Guardians and the Rays between Aaron Civale and Kyle Manzardo? Thank you very bleeping much.
That's true. No, the reason I asked the question is when Kyrie left, I was still... Just because I loved his game so much, I obviously wasn't happy with the way things ended, but I was watching him like a hawk. And really, to this day, I never stopped. I was always checking box scores, always checking highlights. Is that going to be the way you are with Josh Naylor?
Nope.
Really?
When do the Guardians play the Diamondbacks?
So he went from most interesting player in baseball to no longer interesting to you at all.
He's dead to me now.
So was he really that interesting to you? If how can a guy go from most interesting to don't care about him at all?
I just don't. Tone. When you said Kyrie left, where did Kyrie go?
Well, at first it was Boston.
Yeah. It's an East Coast team.
Sure.
Do you want me to not sleep at all?
No.
Because I can watch the Guardians play, that's fine. But
I don't think you have to watch him in real time.
Normally,
I just didn't know if you were going to be checking in with him. Like I did.
I'll check in with him.
Today.
I'll check in, but I mean, if you want me to sit there and watch Diamondbacks baseball, no.
Oh, boy, ain't hearing any of that. Mainly because it's 3:30 in the morning out in San Diego.
Yeah.
Going from baseball to basketball yesterday, a couple of scores to get to that pertain to the Cavaliers. The first one quickly, 145-117, Oklahoma City over Chicago. The reason that's important, the Thunder are 26-1 against Eastern Conference opponents. The one loss this year, that home game in Cleveland,
that's
the Cavaliers.
Outrageous, and that was a wild game. That's an outrageous number.
One of the best this year in the NBA.
26-1 against the Eastern Conference is a hell of a number.
The other game we had was the Celtics over the Grizzlies, 117-103, the freshly new head coached Grizzlies. Meanwhile, the Celtics now keeping the magic number at 4 for the Cleveland Cavaliers to clinch the number one seed.
I have an uncomfortable question. Cavs record is what right now?
60-15.
Would they be as good as if they were in the Western Conference?
They would definitely not be the number one seed because Oklahoma City has 63 wins.
I didn't
wins.
Say da-da-da-da. Would they be as good as that record if they were in the Western Conference,
no, I mean,
Anthony
I,
Lima?
I, no. No, okay. When obviously they've been benefiting from the... Although they've beaten everybody. Okay. They've beaten everybody out West. Now, their games against the Lakers, the Warriors, they didn't play the Warriors with Jimmy Butler. They didn't play... Not to mention the Clippers. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm thanking God every day that a team like the Clippers aren't in the Eastern Conference.
This is why I'm going to say what I'm going to say at 7:44.
I think people would pick the Clippers. I think some people would pick the Clippers with Kawhi healthy to beat you.
This is why I'm going to say what I'm going to say coming up at 7:43, 7:44.
And they're not even the 2 seed because the Rockets are number 2 right now in the West.
I was just going to say quickly, I know that the Cavs, the scheduling and all that, and there was some regression to the mean shooting. Isn't it pretty clear that Boston and Oklahoma City are the best 2 teams in the NBA?
No. Part of the reason I'm going to say what I'm going to say at 7:43, 7:44.
We'll go from the pros to the college level. As last night on the women's side, we had some Elite Eight action where Texas and UConn both advance to the Final Four with the likes of South Carolina and a fourth team that's not on my list right now. Excuse me, UCLA, the number one overall seed. I want to give a quick shout out, though, to a team that's also playing some tournament action right now. The Cleveland State Lady Vikings.
Off to the semis.
Winning their WNIT quarterfinal game against Purdue Fort Wayne last night. They'll take on Buffalo tomorrow night.
How did Destiny do?
She had led all scores, 22 points. Another big night from three-point range. Remember, she was going to be like the all-time Cleveland State scorer, and then she got injured. And then it's been a long comeback trail for Destiny Leo. Standout from East Lake North. Was paying attention last night, Kenny, and she was outstanding. It was nice
she
to
see.
Yeah, the Vikings at one point, I believe they went on a 14-0 run yesterday. And it was a tough game for Fort Wayne because they never got within 6 points of the Vikings once they got out to that lead. So congratulations to the Lady Vikings as well.
Well, you might not, Kenny, be monitoring Josh Naylor, but Mitch is all over the women's NIT
now. That was a nice breakdown, man.
I researched as much as I possibly could to ensure.
What apps you got on your phone?
What apps do I have on my phone?
Yeah.
Women's NIT.com.
Is there a primesportsbook.com over there? Because you're a little too into the WNIT.
I mean,
throwing a few down on the WNIT.
I mean, with 3 minutes left in the first half.
I keep track of the numbers
reckless
very closely.
They have a win probability, Ken, of 48%.
Mitch Feiner over here.
Solely for the sake of finding numbers. That's what I like.
Is that it?
Yes. Nothing else. Nothing else at all. You might laugh at some of the apps that I have on my phone here that we will not disclose in public.
Why can't we disclose them in public? I'll go over the apps I have on my phone.
I feel like you wouldn't know some of them, and I feel like the ones you would know, you'd be like, that's kind of stupid.
DoorDash, Ticketmaster, Simply Safe.
Do you know what
Notre Dame?
You have a Notre Dame app?
Yeah.
Huh.
Ram, Target, NASCAR, Flash Seats, Twitch.
Flash Seats.
Oh, you have Twitch.
Flash Seats. Yeah, okay. I got Twitch.
Do you know what Letterboxd is?
Huddle and Huddle Focus. Cars. I don't know why I have cars. I'm getting rid of that. Dunkin', Park Mobile, Chipotle, Jersey Mike's, The Athletic, Blueski, as Lyman calls it, Realtor.com. I like to look at open land. I might like to buy some land. McDonald's, Taco Bell.
Good. You're way over, but we're doing it.
Yeah.
All right. My apps.
Let's go.
Let's go.
Oh, gosh. If I can just say, I mean, the McDonald's app is outstanding.
You guys keep
telling me. You're always eating something for free. Yeah. You're always eating something for free. It's a wonderful app. Unpaid testimonial, friends. Twitter's not on here. It should be, but I don't have it. Okay, Number two, Jersey Mike's. Number three. Oh, ballpark app is very easy. You'd be surprised. Yeah, there you go. Boom.
Okay.
Boom. Here it is. Here's my apps. And that is it. As Mitch is supposed to say for about last night, but he got nervous and walked out of the room because that's what he does. Bring on the Pistons. I am sick and tired of the tippy-toeing around all the different possibilities we could have in the postseason. I'm tired of it. You said it yesterday. I've been holding it in. I'm not going to let you have the – I should have let you have the first word on that. I understand, but I just got to let my opinion be known. I know that you don't want to play the Pistons in the postseason. The physicality, they got nothing to lose. You know what? We've been sitting here talking about this team for 3 years now about when are they going to be tough? When are they going to be able to take a punch in the face? You are better. Now, I know that after Sunday's game with the Detroit Pistons, that might be taken literally about a punch in the face. It's been 3 years, and we have sat here and talked about the toughness or questioned the toughness of this team. Bring on the toughest teams you have. I am tired of playing peekaboo with possible opponents we have in the postseason. And I've done that myself. Well, we can't play Milwaukee because they have Giannis. We can't play Indiana, you see, because they're not a great matchup. And defensively, they give us a little bit of a fit. Well, you know, Orlando, I mean, and like, good God, we're talking, Jalen Suggs isn't available for him. And I don't believe Mo Wagner is going to be available for him. And we're talking about dodging a bullet with Orlando. Are we an NBA Finals caliber team or not? Because last month, it was an NBA Finals caliber team where everybody was taking away all the plans that they had for June because they were getting ready for a parade. Now we're afraid to play the Pistons, you're telling me? I'm not going to accept it. Play the Pistons, and if they lose to the Pistons, then we'll find out if they're men or not. Because I don't think they're going to lose to the Pistons. At least it'll make them tougher and more ready to take on a team like Boston or take on anybody else in the postseason. Yeah, you know what? For different reasons, bring on the Pistons. I'll go ahead and I'll say it. I'll be the one to shoot my mouth off here because somebody's got to sack up and have something for this team. Yeah, something's got to have something here.
I think my mindset is, you know, when it comes to like the path of least resistance. Yeah, I think we'll be fine against the Pistons. I'm not scared. I think we'd probably sweep them or win in five games. That's not the part of this that I'm necessarily worried about. The JB Atkinson thing is a great storyline, and it would be awesome. It'd be awesome because, again, we'll win, and we'll be able to, you know what talk, Bickerstaff even more than our fans have already done it. Mm-hmm. So all that stuff would be fun. The not fun part would be the 48 minutes where they are trying to start a war, where they are going to every dirty tactic, every trick in the book. The fact that I got to make sure that Donovan Mitchell makes it out of that series alive, and the one I'm really worried about is Darius Garland.
Good.
But it's not good because...
No, good. It is good.
Well, it's not good because I saw what happened against a team that had no shot to beat us in 2015, the Boston Celtics, and they ended our championship run not by beating us. They didn't. They did it by dirty pool. And they ended our championship run, so you could puff and puff and say, good, good, good. Well, we didn't win the championship that year, probably because of the dirty pool by Kelly Olynyk. And that's exactly the type of stuff you're going to see, magnitude of 10 with the two guys they have on their roster who are willing to start stuff, both Isaiah Stewart and Ron Holland. No, I don't want that. I don't want any part of that.
I don't need
our run to be unceremoniously ended early because of cheap tricks.
I need some truth because it feels to me like a lot of people, and I heard you over the last couple of days off the air and even a little bit on the air, and I've heard a lot of fans, and I just feel that a lot of people look at 60 and 15 and they just question the legitimacy of it. You even yourself going, well, is this still one of the best teams, or is this just OKC and Boston being the best teams? Now, being the best and being the toughest are two separate things, but damn it, you're going to have to be challenged here. I need some truth out of this. I need some real hard truth out of this. If they're not tough enough to deal with the Detroit Pistons of all teams,
I don't want to
waste the fans' time.
I think you're confusing.
Then fine, go ahead and freak out and make some trades.
I think you're confusing tough. When I think of tough, we've seen the Cavs like out-toughed in playoff series before. The Knicks series 2 years ago was an all-timer, and really the Orlando series, because Orlando had no business making that a seven-game series, and their toughness, they brought that. But we did, I think we responded. I do think we responded to it, and it was nice to see Donovan Mitchell kind of take over the way he did. I'm not even talking about tough with Detroit. With Detroit, I'm talking about too many characters on that team that I can't rely that they're gonna do things within the confines of the rule book. I would just rather avoid them altogether because I just know how they play. I know that Isaiah Stewart, if you've watched him this year and you watched his role in that brawl the other game, but I'm not only talking about that. I'm talking about like they don't defer to anybody. They've gotten into it with Steph Curry. They've gotten into it with LeBron James. So they certainly are not worried about getting into it with Darius Garland.
Well, they're still a ton of basketball team. Like, I'm trying to give Detroit the credit where it's due. Like, I didn't see Boston before the 2015 series. I know what people said about Kelly Olynyk, but I don't remember seeing Boston before. And maybe I'm wrong. I have to go back in my memory. Maybe people can check the tweets and whatever. I didn't see Boston going into the series as this dirty team. And I don't think that you win 42 games and be a team that bounces back from terrible seasons by not having talent and not being a decent enough basketball team. I mean, if they're going to go out there and they're going to just deliver chair shots and throw sand in people's eyes like they're Mr. Fuji, well, I guess that we're going to have to just deal with that. But I am just so tired of peekaboo with all these other teams.
That
I mean, it's always something, and it always comes back to, well, are they tough enough to get back to me?
The argument always seems to get back to their toughness. Yeah, I'm talking about Detroit here, who, by the way, has the fourth, since February 1st, fourth best net rating. They're right behind the Cavaliers. So they've been actually really good offensively and defensively.
Have they been good? Have they been good? No, they've been good.
But what I'm talking about the Pistons. Seems like you're talking about the Cavs. Seems like you don't trust the Cavs in any of these matchups.
You know
seems
what?
Like
maybe that's a possibility.
You
maybe that's
want
a possibility.
Them to be battle-tested because you think they almost, what, need a smack in the face
no,
or what?
No, because one of the worst things I think you could say about a professional sports team is that they're not tough enough. And just hearing about Detroit and then hearing you yesterday, and you didn't say it on the air, maybe we didn't give you the chance to, maybe we should have, about how Detroit and how physical they are and how tough they are and dirty they are, that's an operative word there. I'm just, golly, I'm tired of it. So, yeah, maybe it is a little bit where I need to trust the Cavs a little bit more on that because I know that they're talented and I know that they're growing. And I don't want to overcorrect and say, well, we didn't want to say nasty things about the Cavs when they won 16 games in a row. I know that there were some things that were going on during a 16-game win streak that weren't very good, and I totally agreed with you about some of the things that you brought up.
I thought they developed some bad
habits.
But
damn, man, it's one of the worst things you could call a team, and it doesn't matter if you play in Miami, Los Angeles, or Cleveland, Ohio. To question a team's toughness is the bare-bones, nastiest thing, and I don't want to have to do it. So you know what? I shouldn't be afraid. I'm a team that should go to the Eastern Conference Finals against Boston. I have how many months in a row or how many months out of the year has a Cavalier won the Eastern Conference Player of the Month or Eastern Conference Player of the Week? I mean, my God, you have talent falling out of your pockets right now, and you should be in a much better position than Detroit. I think Milwaukee's on their way down. You should be in a better position than them. You're in a better position than Atlanta, than Orlando. You're in a better position than these basketball teams. And I don't want to hear about toughness anymore. So you know what? Go out there and assert yourself. Assert yourself with dominance. Do it that way if you have to. But I'm not going to.
I mean, that would be nice.
Trying to rig up the pieces so we fall in line. Yes, I know it's the easiest way to do it, and you want the path of least resistance. I understand that, but Detroit shouldn't hang with your stuff in the postseason.
Well, they can't. No,
so I can't avoid everybody.
Worried. That's not what I'm worried about. I'm not worried about that. I told you, I think that series would be a sweep or five games.
But then you say you want to avoid them because you're afraid they're going to be dirty with you.
I think it is it is what could happen after that series. You know, whether or not we have guys that can stand after that series, because you've got guys on that team that will just pick a fight. They will literally just. I'd rather have the team of guys that aren't try to pick fights.
And there will be guys in New York who are willing to pick fights. I don't know if Boston's willing to pick a fight. I'll grant you that. But I think you'll find guys on just about every team who's willing to pick a fight. I mean, Mo Wagner tried to pick a fight with you every single game last year. Tried every single game last year. You went seven games with Orlando. So you will have guys who try to pick fights. Detroit, yeah, they got a bunch of guys who are going to try to pick fights. I'm willing to deal with it.
I think Detroit is a very different category this year if you've been watching closely.